Did these contacts, Richard, come to him quickly? How did he summon them at any specific time?
Really, they, on the whole, they chose the time, not him. But they could give him very, very short notice. They could give him, you know, just a matter of a couple of minutes on certain occasions, or even shorter than that in a real emergency. But they would pick the time. For example, just to give one example, in 1958 he was in Devon when he received details of a Russian atomic accident, which turned out to be in the Ural Mountains. He published this in 1958. So it was given to him at the time of the event. It was, as I mentioned earlier, it was 18 years later before anyone in the world had news from any other source about this. So it verified the contact. But basically, he had to be on call 24 hours a day, George.
Did he ever physically see the extraterrestrials, Richard?
Yes, he had encounters where he did. He also, being a master of yoga himself, he could practice astral projection, out-of-body projection,
right,
if you like. And then he could come into contact with beings from other worlds and see them. The physical aspect is a fascinating one, because obviously cosmic beings have a control over matter that we don't have yet in our world. And this is why so many people seem to report that UFOs blink out or blink back into existence. They're able to travel through different frequencies. And Dr. King himself was very much aware of this and had experiences both in his physical body and out of it.
Did he describe what they looked like, Richard?
Yes, he described them as being tall humanoid beings. I mean, that isn't to say that there isn't life out there in the universe which is not humanoid. He said that very much that there is. But the sort of contacts that he experienced and that most people through history in this earth have experienced have been with humanoid beings, great beings, taller, perhaps 7 foot tall, cinnamon-colored skin, long hair. And he also mentioned this single-piece suit that is so often described in alien contacts.
And you know, even though he believed that they were coming from this solar system, what are the possibilities, Richard, that maybe they were in a huge mothership in our solar system? So technically he was correct.
Oh, very much so. I mean, he believed definitely in life on other planets in this solar system. But clearly, you and I couldn't live on Jupiter or Saturn. I mean, he always said it's on a higher frequency, which might not even be detectable or visible to us. Just in the same way, of course, that there are people who've died on this world that are clairvoyant, and you know, I've had this experience, and millions of others have. You can see if you're in a certain state of heightened consciousness, but they're not in a physical body; they're living now on a higher frequency. Well, that principle applies even on so-called uninhabitable planets. But there is a particular spacecraft that comes into orbit, because the thing that the cosmic beings are interested in doing is in helping us to help ourselves. Every time we take a step towards them, they can take two towards us. But they won't interfere and alter our history and solve all our problems, because that would rob us of the most valuable ability that we have, the most valuable gift that we have, if you like, which is experience itself. So one example of this is a spacecraft known as Satellite Number 3, which comes into orbit periodically. Now, on that spacecraft, there are beings, in a long-winded way, I'm afraid, I am answering your question, who don't all come from this solar system. And they work together. They cooperate together. I mean, we are the only planet in this solar system that doesn't cooperate at an interplanetary level.
And you said right up to his death, they were communicating with him.
Absolutely, they were. You see, this craft, Satellite Number 3, potentizes our spiritual actions. It doesn't, as I say, solve all our problems for us. But if a person is praying, is meditating, is serving others in one way or another, physically, mentally, or spiritually, while this craft is in orbit, in what we call a spiritual push, then it will potentize that action 3,000 times. So it's enhancing our activities. And this kind of activity Dr. King was aware of. He was receiving communications about cosmic activity up to a week before he died, yes.
Now let's talk about the contact prior to the nuclear accident at Chernobyl, which has been 21 years from almost today.
Yes, exactly. Yes, because they say April the 26th, but American time it was April the 25th, of course. And this was an absolute incredible experience for me, because I happened to be with Dr. King in a room in a hotel in Arizona when he received just a little under 5 hours before the Chernobyl disaster, a communication from a being from Mars warning of a dire catastrophe. Now, unlike the 1958 example, which I mentioned, the purpose of this communication wasn't to give information so much as to start a program of action to lessen the impact of this disaster. So the details about Chernobyl were not given. He was simply told a terrible calamity, a terrible disaster is due to happen. It's necessary to activate a program of spiritual energy release, which means sending energy through apparatus into our world to lessen the effect of this particular disaster. And this program commenced just before the Chernobyl disaster and for several days after it.
Now, were they asking him to do this, to channel this energy? Okay.
Yes, they virtually gave instructions, which he accepted, that he always accepted. And they said, you must start this program of spiritual energy release, and they gave him the times. And they were cooperating directly with it, as they still do, by the way. This type of activity still continues around the world to this day. The Aetherius Society is engaged now in cooperating with them, not just talking about them. But this particular program was very specific, because if we take one step towards them, they can take two towards us. So if we are willing to cooperate with them, they can then do more to intervene to help us with our problems. And it turned out years later that hundreds of people actually witnessed a UFO hovering over the fourth power station, the one that had the accident at Chernobyl, that they saw a crimson light emitted from this UFO into that particular power station. And according to Pravda, as you mentioned at the head of the program, as a result of this, it was a steam explosion, not a nuclear one. Had it been a nuclear one, it would have wiped out half of Europe, according to Pravda.
A disaster of biblical proportions.
Absolutely. And we published the details of this release that we did in cooperation with UFOs in 1986, the year it happened. Pravda came out in 2002, so it was just another verification, really, of this kind of cooperation.